Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I was really struck this week in my devotions as I read this chapter. And the question in my mind was how I struggle with being fruitful, with being unproductive, or feeling like we're being unfruitful and unproductive so much of the time. And so that's the question we want to face this morning is, when we feel that way, what do we do? What do we take comfort in? 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, help us understand your word by your Holy Spirit. Work in our hearts this morning to transform us through the power of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit who has written it. Cast out distractions. Help us to focus. Help my words to be faithful to your word. And Lord, carry us and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One frustration you might feel as a Christian from time to time is, why do I not grow? I seem to struggle with the same sins over and over. Maybe, you know, if you're one of the sins you might struggle with is alcohol. You keep falling back into it over and over. You might make a little progress and then you seem to fall down. You might resist the devil for a season, but then all of a sudden you find yourself turning back to the bottle and taking comfort yet again in the bottle. Why can I not make any real progress? Or perhaps you find yourself angry at people. And you don't want to be angry. You hate when you get angry. But yet, it's almost knee-jerk. You lash out at people. And you realize it's wrong. And you want to make progress. But you feel like you can't. What do? I know one of the things that often catches me up, and James, the book of James is big on this, is my tongue. I say things to one person, I say things to another person, or I say it in a way which they misunderstand, and so I'm forever frustrated with the way that I'm being unproductive with my tongue. I say things that people take a different way, and it hurts them. It confuses them. Some of it's sinful, some of it's not. But what do I do when I feel like I'm being unproductive and unfruitful? Is there hope for me? Is there hope for you? And how does Peter encourage us this morning? There is hope. And it's rooted in the gospel. It moves from the gospel to your own effort. But it starts with the gospel. And then after we have our own, after we put our effort forward, there are consequences. So just three words today to keep in mind. Everything. I tried my best to make three E's, but I couldn't find a word, an E word to fit the last one. Everything. Effort. But the effort's based on everything. It's based on the gospel. And then assurance. Everything, effort, and assurance. First, we start with what He has given us. Remember that He has given us everything we need. Amen? He has given us everything we need. Do you believe that? Joel asked earlier, do you believe that He has given? I sometimes feel like I'm going between believing that and doubting that. Or at least just saying, okay, I know He's my everything. I know He's given me everything I need. But you know, I've got to get on with life. And Christ wants us, Peter here is writing, to encourage the church to realize that He is our everything so that we can get on with life. Amen? Now, when you hear people talk, people say, I have needs. You ever hear that? I've got certain needs, and until I have those needs fulfilled, I cannot move any forward. And even TV advertisements and advertising in papers and on the internet, it's designed so that you see things you need, think you need, and then it tries to deceive you, so that instead of saying, well, that looks nice, wouldn't that be nice to have, to I want that, to I need that, and then eventually I need it so bad that I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get my hands on it. You know, it's not enough to get the big screen TV, the plasma screen TV. It's not enough to just remain there. No, you've got to get the home theater system. Then it's not enough to just have 10 channels. You've got to get cable, and then that's not enough. You need what? You need a channel service that gives you 300 channels. What on earth are you going to do with 300 channels in 7 days a week? I don't know, but you... And it can, so there's that deception. The world is saying, you need these things. But the word here has something very, very different to say. It says, Christ has given you, through His divine power, all you need. Everything you could possibly need. Amen? Look at what it says in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. If you are in Christ, listen very carefully. If you are in Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you lack nothing. You lack nothing. You have everything you could possibly need. He says you have everything you need for life. You have everything you need for this life. You have eternal life. What more could you need? Eternal life both for all eternity, of course, but also eternal life defined in John as knowing Him. See, I say this a lot, so it might sound like a broken record, but it's so vital that we think of eternal life not only as forever, but forever knowing Him, and even now knowing Him. He has given you everything you need for life. He has given you everything you need for godliness. See, He's given us everything we need to grow. How do I grow? I realize first, I remember that He has given me everything I need. And then, that's the basis for growth. So where do I start? I start with the gospel. I start with Christ's love. What did He do for me? He died for my sins. He died for my sins, gave me His righteousness, and united me to God. What more could I want? That then enables me, once I realize and have that drilled in my head, that enables me to face whatever struggle I'm going through. Whether it's bills, whether it's not knowing if I'm going to be able to put food on the plate, whether it's paying my rent, whatever it may be. Whether it's, you know, yesterday there was a slew of cops on my street that I found out about this morning. You know, danger out there on the streets, whatever it may be, I have everything I need in Jesus Christ. That's what He's given me by His divine power. Amen? And He's given me everything I need to grow. Verse 4. Through these things He has given us His very great and precious promises. The promises that He's saved us from our sins, so that by them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. He is giving you everything in the gospel so that you can then participate in the divine nature. Now, what does He mean by that? Because for a second here, you might think, well, what is He talking? Do I become God? Is that what He's saying? And it's not what He's saying. You don't become God. You become united to God by your faith. You become, you see, what happens is when you receive Jesus Christ and He forgives you of your sin and recognizes you as righteous before Him, covering you with His righteousness, then He makes His home in you. And Christ lives in you by His Holy Spirit. That's how you become one with Him. That's how you participate in the divine nature. It's not that you know, some religions teach that you then just lose yourself completely. You have no personality left. You have no individuality. And you just become one with the cosmos, or you become one with God. And you become God in the sense of like a drop of water dropping into the ocean. And so you really, Matt, would cease to be. But it's not like that at all. We participate in the divine nature. He dwells in us. We are united to Him by His great promises, by what He's done, by the fact that He's given us everything. Isn't that encouraging? You participate in Him as you are if you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing that He would want to, you know, I wake up in the morning and I think of all the stuff I'm thinking and doing. It's amazing that God wants to live in me by His Holy Spirit. He wants to live not, we can become too individualistic with this, but He wants to live for us Americans, not just in you and you and you, you. He wants to live in us. And He does. He lives in His church. And it's very important that, you know, I was looking at this passage and thinking, and really struck me with English this morning, because in English, for the word you, we only have the individualistic you, except if you're from the South. Then what do you say? Y'all, which is much more proper. I wish our Bibles were more Southern, so we'd say y'all. Because most of these yous in the New Testament are plurals. They're speaking to y'all. They're not speaking to, you know, me individually. It's speaking to you as a group. We participate in the divine nature. God makes His home in us, and we escape corruption. Corruption that comes from evil desires. I'm just wondering, it's easy for us to look on the outside and say, well, that, you know, I see that person, I've seen the awful things they've done, they're corrupt. It's hard to look at yourself and look at your own corruption, isn't it? It's hard to see, isn't it? It's hard to see the evil desires within yourself unless you're drawing closer to Christ, unless you're drawing closer to God. But see, if we don't see that in us, we don't know how good the gospel is. We don't know how if we don't see, Lord, look at the things I'm thinking. Look at the things I've said. Look at the things I've done this day. Please, I know Your grace is sufficient. And I don't know if that He is my everything, that He has given me everything I need. But when I look at myself and I see my own corruption, I can say, there is nothing good in and of myself. Yeah, I might have gifts, I might have talents, but there's nothing good inside myself. The only good thing out there is God. And that's who I'm going to look for my strength. Amen? So, He has given us everything we need, and this enables to be in union with Him and to escape corruption. For that reason then, what do? For that reason, we make every effort. Okay, so everything, every effort. For that reason, we make every effort. Alright, I'm going to level with you today. I've been extremely impressed with the Philadelphia Flyers. They strike me as a team that no matter what your allegiance is, you've got to recognize they make every effort. They make the most out of everything. It's amazing to me. I'm enjoying watching them because it's good hockey. And this is a team that's come together at the right time and they're just trying their best and succeeding over and over. That's all I'm going to say good about the Flyers. Now, did you notice? So that's their character of the Philadelphia. They're making every effort. They're just tenacious. You notice at the beginning of the season, I kind of laughed at these billboards and these t-shirts. You know what they did? They put up words, character words, or attitudes that they wanted the Flyers to have. Like the one that you see most often now is relentless. What's another one? The one earlier this season I saw was vengeance, which I don't know why they put that on there. Who are they being vengeful against? I don't know. But they had these words that define them as a team, and it's come true, hasn't it? Well, of course, there are words. Christians should look different than the world. Amen? Now, we have that corruption. We're fighting against the corruption. But we also have participation by the gospel and the divine nature. But there are aspects to our character that look different. So, you know, we should print up a bunch of t-shirts on this with this list of these character traits and walk around with them. You know, what are some of these character traits? Goodness, knowledge, self-control. Because those are the things that should begin to define us as we grow in Christ. But before we get to that list, just look at the verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, when I think of making an effort in religion, I get exhausted the minute I hear the word effort. What's the problem? It sounds like a pain. It sounds like a hardship. Make every effort. Man, I just worked all day. Now I got to work some more. No, it's... But if I just focus on the make every effort, I'm missing the point. Look at the first words here in this verse 5. For this reason. What is he talking about? He's talking for this reason. He's talking about everything. He's starting from the gospel. For this reason. He's starting with the love of Christ, the acceptance you've received in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. For this reason. The only way we can move to making every effort is if we start at with the gospel, if we start with His grace, and we stay there. Then, once I know I'm accepted in Him, once I know I'm loved unconditionally in Him, once I know I have that firm relationship with Him, then I can go forward. Then I'm ready to say, I'm ready to make every effort to add to my faith these qualities. But unless you, if you just go forward to in Christianity, unfortunately, and many religions, where do they start? Make every effort. That will exhaust us. Amen? So start with the "for this reason" before you go to the make every effort. Because if you stay on make every effort, what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get disheartened. And sooner or later, you're going to grow cold to the church. Churches who preach and emphasize make every effort are difficult places to be in. Because it's not based on the love of Christ. It's not based on the gospel. For this reason. And then there's this list of Christ-like qualities. Make every effort to add to your faith for this very reason. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what? Love. In the Colossians passage, what does love do? It crowns everything. And I don't know if there's some kind of progression here. I'm preaching at a large section, so we can't look at this too in depth. But he ends, Peter, with love. Again and again and again. Begin with God's love, add, build up all these character traits, and end with love. So we need to start on the basis of the gospel before we make every effort. We don't want to be unproductive. So a question to ask is, what does success, let me put it that way, what does success look like in the Christian life? I think if we took a survey here and many other churches, you would say, success looks like this. You're doing lots of things as a Christian. You're active in this committee. You're active helping out with this group. You're doing this, that, and the other thing. That's precisely where we don't want to go. Yes, you may do things and serve, and that's wonderful. You want to do those things. But if you start there, you started in the wrong place. Again, where does it start? In your character. In your character as you look more and more like Jesus Christ. Make every effort, if we could summarize this, make every effort to look like your Savior. Make every effort to imitate His love. That's where we begin. And in verse 10 he says this, "For if you possess these qualities in your character," he's saying these qualities we just looked at, "in increasing measure they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord." We don't want to be unproductive. We don't want to be. But it's not the outward necessarily. It's not that we have a 16,000 person church or that you all become pastors. That's not the goal. It's that the goal must be that you look like Jesus Christ in your life. That your character is formed according to Jesus Christ. Another thing about this is, did you know? Notice here what says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, increasing. It's not like any of us are going to be perfect in any of these qualities. We still have that dynamic of leaving corruption and entering, participating in the divine nature. It's a process. It's a process. So it's not like one day I wake up and, oh, I'm all full. I have all these qualities. This is my character. Now everything's great. I can stop trying. Or if you believe in Christ, you have none of these qualities. If you believe in Christ, you will have something of these qualities. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, you come to know Him. Your life is changed and these qualities begin to develop in you by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So it's a process, you know, and I don't want us to be discouraged with, because some of us will look at ourselves and say, "That's so frustrating. I can't see any of these qualities in me." That's not really the point. If the point is, regardless of whether you see them or not, draw near to Christ, begin with the gospel, that you have everything you need through His divine power. And just those things alone will begin to develop, if you focus on that, will begin to develop your character to look like Him. Well, what's the consequence? We have everything we need. We make every effort on the basis of the gospel. And what's the consequence here? Or the two directions you could go. Well, if you're not making out any effort, or there's none of these qualities, you become blind. But if you are growing, you can have assurance. What's at stake here? If you're not growing, you are pretending. Look at verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and has and blind, and has forgotten he has been cleansed of his past sins. If you're not growing, where do you go? You go back to the gospel, because if you're not growing, if you're not making every effort, if you're not encouraged, you become blind. Now he's writing to the church. He's writing to them and encouraging them. Peter's writing to them to then go back to the gospel. Here, remember the gospel. Then, if you've forgotten that you were cleansed of your past sins, the thing to do is to go back there again. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, where do you start? You start with the gospel again. And if you seek to grow, where do you start? You start with the gospel, and then make every effort. So, where do we go back again and again and again? It's to the gospel. And if we are not growing, you must ask yourself the question, are you nearsighted and blind? Are you just merely accepting the gospel in your mind? Are you merely saying, I'm a Christian, but there's no reality there? Those are tough questions. And you have to ask yourself those questions, because we can be deceived. Paul puts it a different way. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. If you are convicted and you repent and you are driven to Jesus Christ again and again, then you are. And you can have assurance. But if not, you must take this seriously. If the gospel means nothing to you and it's making no difference in your life, it's a wake-up call. But if it does, where do we go? We have assurance. The last couple verses here, and there's some real difficult verses in this passage, say this: therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, Paul. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, make your calling and election sure. Some of us can be deceived. That is the reality of the matter. Do you hear me? The church, all those gathered here today, this church may not be pure. We might have non-Christians among us. What do you do if you're a non-Christian? Investigate the love of Christ. Come to Him. Think about what He's done. Seek Him. Seek the truth. My encouragement would be, dwell on His great love. Dwell on His great love and ask this question: is there anything else in the world that humans have ever invented that comes anywhere near His great love? The more and more I think about it, the more and more I return to the gospel. Not the proofs, not anything else, although those can be helpful. The evidence can be helpful, don't get me wrong. But I return to the story of what Christ did for us over and over. And that's my encouragement to you. But if you are drawing closer to Him, you can have assurance. See, the election is not in doubt from God's perspective. The calling is not in doubt from God's perspective. But how many people that I've known that have said, yes, I want to follow Jesus Christ, and they get saved, and then, you know, next week they're off doing something else. It's like they never even heard the gospel and their life did not change. Or years later. make your calling and election sure. And it's not something, it's how do you do that? You draw back, you go back to the fact that He is your everything, that He has given us everything in the gospel. And then on that basis, make every effort on the basis of His love. So, you now should know that you have everything you need to face life through the love of God. You feel now that you are encouraged to make every effort, that a God who loves you this much, wider than the east is from the west, that a God who loves you that much, think about it. Joel said earlier, he was talking about the passage in Philippians where Christ makes Himself nothing and takes on the form of a servant and became obedient even to death. That is God Himself doing that. If I became an ant, that would be the equivalent, and died for ants. God Himself becoming like one of us, enduring humiliation by His own creation and submitting to death on the cross so that I can be reunited to Him and then make every effort and then have assurance. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that encourage you then to make every effort? If God is doing that, if He's given me everything through that, can't I be encouraged then to not get, you know, make a 10% offer, a little effort, I'll put in 5% here. No, make every effort to adore Him and to worship Him and to follow Him and to seek to be obedient to Him. When you mess up, you have the gospel, you have forgiveness to return to. He has given us everything. Now we should make every effort to grow. One thing to leave you with is, when I was a school teacher, and I know we got some school teachers in the house today. Amen? And aspiring school teachers in the house. When I was a school teacher, I entered my first year into an extremely difficult situation. Extremely difficult situation. It was fourth grade. It was my first year. They had run their other teacher out. And I came in, and what was in their minds? How long is this guy going to last? I came in November, and they put me through it. I was not sleeping. I was not eating. I had no appetite for weeks. But there was one principle I kept. Don't give up. Don't give up. And off that principle, what did I do? I made every effort not to give up. Your principle in the Christian life is that He has given you everything you need. Everything you need through His love. What do? Make every effort then to grow in Him, to add to your faith. Amen? Let's pray. Help us, O Lord, this week as we seek to follow You, not to be fruitless, but to be fruitful and make every effort to grow because of what You've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.